Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Here we are. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm so excited to have you here with us, together with our guest today, Linda Olson. We're going to be talking about your story matters and why others need to hear it. So during this interview, we're going to talk about the greatest gift that you have and why it matters. Also, three big reasons why people are not sharing their story, but one thing that will change that. Also, mistakes storytellers make and how to turn those into gold. A simple framework for any two-minute story, three reasons why you must know how to share your story now, and the method Linda uses to help people get their story out to millions. Linda Olson is a TEDx speaker, story coach, international number one best-selling author, and the founder of Wealth Through Stories. Her mission is to impact a million people a year through story, and you can learn more about her over at wealththroughstories.com. And you can also invite her to speak at womenspeakers.com. And I'm super excited to welcome you here right now. Welcome, Linda.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we always have a good time when we're together. So here we are, and we're inviting yes, you guys to have a good time with us. You know, I remember several years ago talking to you, and you said, my goal is to affect a million people through stories a year. And I was like, how are you going to do that? But you have.
Well, let me tell you, several years ago, in fact, it's 6 years ago when God gave me that new mission to impact a million people a year through story. And I asked the same thing. How on earth is this going to happen?
I love that. I love that. And you have a brand new book that's out, Story Matters. I'm so excited about this because you have taken a lot of what's up here that you help people with, and you have put it into this manual handbook, and it's small, but it's really powerful. So we're going to kind of go through some of this today with our listeners, because you are passionate that it is time for people to actually recognize the value of their story.
Absolutely. You know what? Story to me is the greatest gift we have been given. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we don't see it as a gift. But, you know, the thing is, if we deny our gift, we are denying our God-given purpose, because our story is who we are. And what we do, our vision is what we do with our story. And we will never reach our potential and what God has for us if we don't embrace this gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Story is so, I think of the Bible, and God could have written it like an encyclopedia, or he could have written it like a dictionary, mm-hmm. or he could have written it just in chronological order, like a history book, but instead he wrote it about stories. Yes. Much of the Bible is a real people's real life struggles, mistakes, victories, highs and lows. You know, it's, and I say it is his, God's, is his story, history, but he includes us in his story.
Yes, he does. I mean, wow. What a privilege.
It is. It
no,
is.
It doesn't get better than that.
No,
that
no.
He would choose us to include us in his story.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's amazing. He cast us in his play.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay. So what are some reasons that we're not doing it? That we hide our story, or that we just don't value it the way that we should?
Well, you know, I did some research on this, and I actually was quite surprised. The number one reason people are not sharing their story today is because they don't think they have one. Mm. I mean, you know, that to me is very sad. Yeah. And if they could come up with something, they don't think others would want to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. And thirdly, you know, if they came up with something, they have no idea how to tell their story. And so it's, you know, it's sad. And yet I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, I was at a similar place just 10 years ago. And a big part of it was because God was still healing my story. And, you know, the biggest thing, and you really said it, and that is the biggest thing that would change is if we value our story, value the gift that God has given. Yes, that would change it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very intimidating. It's very intimidating. I mean, I know a lot of people have said things. I'm sure people have said things to you too, as an author, as a speaker, who's someone who takes the stage, who gets on shows like this and says, I have something to say to the world. It's people will say sometimes, why do you think you have something to say? What makes you any different than all the people who watch instead of speak, who are watching TV instead of on TV?
Yes. Yes.
You know, and there's a sense that there's kind of a different level of, I don't know, a value or something to the story.
You know, it is. It's a different perspective. It's a different perspective, you know.
But it's not really true that there's a different value to the story.
It's not that I'm more important than you.
That my story is more important than yours. Not at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. It's just that I've learned to recognize, and a big part of it is owning my story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when there's been a lot of pain, and there is for people today, it's so hard to own it, and we can't own it until we've really worked through it. Yeah. Yes.
And I think another thing is to be willing to share your story. You have to be willing to let people throw darts at it. You know, while this book was not in print, Story Matters, while it was not in print, no one could throw a dart at it and say, oh, it wasn't my favorite book, or, oh, it really wasn't for me. But they couldn't throw a dart at it because it did not exist in a format at which they could throw a dart. And I think there's a lot of fear and hiding that's going on because it takes a lot of courage to actually step out and put your story out in front of people who may actually throw a dart.
And especially today, when there are lots and lots of darts
flying.
It's that feeling of we're so vulnerable. We're so vulnerable. And it's, you know how it is. You can have 100 wonderful comments, and then you read the one that throws a dart, and it's like, whoa.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can't take it personally. You've just got, and that's part of just walking in your purpose and in your calling. It's doing what God wants you to do. It's about obedience. Mm-hmm. It's not about who throws darts and who doesn't. It's about obedience.
And I always say, you know, I always say perform for an audience of one. And I don't think we're actually performing for God. There's no performance required. He just loves us. He died for us in our weakness. He did not die for us because we were looking good. He died for us because we were looking bad. So it's not about performing for him, but when I say it that way, I always live for an audience of one. What I'm really saying is, if God says, write it, if God says I'm valuable, if God says this is good, then that's the feedback I want to hear. I don't want to hear all the other voices. And if God says, it's not good, Marnie, keep working, it's not ready, I don't want to hear other voices that say, it's great, it's awesome. Either way, I just want to hear what God has to say about it, the truth.
Great perspective. If we can just remember that.
Right. Yeah, it is hard. It is hard to remember, especially when you're getting a dart.
Yes.
That's what the shield's for, right? To stop those fiery darts.
Yeah.
Oh, so what are some mistakes that storytellers make?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is that our stories are often too long. And you know, today our attention spans are so short. I mean, you know how they say on YouTube or whatever, you literally have 3 to 4 seconds to grab somebody's interest, or they'll jump on to something else.
Yeah.
And so we have to shorten our stories. And secondly, is the reason that most stories are too long, it's because there's too much detail. You know, we think this detail is really important to me, so it must be important to you. But you know what? Really, all the listener wants is they want the punchline of your story. Why are you telling this story? And the third biggest reason is really that why. Why are we telling our story? The purpose of story, even though it's my story, it's not about me. The purpose is about you. It's about connecting with you, relating to you, coming alongside you, so that hopefully I can encourage or empower you. And if we can keep that in mind, so tell shorter stories, leave out unnecessary detail, and focus on the needs of the other person, that story will turn to gold. Yes.
I love that. You know, it's coming right to mind. I was taking a course recently with Jim Baker, and it was about money. And he was saying the most humble thing a Christian thinks they can say is, well, I really don't need much money, just enough for me and my family, and I'll be content. And he said, that's about the most selfish thing I have ever heard. Now, it sounded humble, didn't it? Just enough for me and my family, and I'll be content. But he said, why are you thinking about just enough for you and your family? People all around you have needs. What are you doing? Money is there to help you be God's hands and feet to the people around you. You know, and when you were talking, that was coming to mind. In this way, we could say, well, I'm not proud, so I'm not telling my story. But honestly, the only person that knows it then is you. It is not proud to tell your story. It is God honoring to tell your story and give God the glory.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've heard it many times too. People will constantly come up to me and say, well, you know, if I talk to them about writing their book or something, I have no interest in making money on this book. I just want to impact people. Mm-hmm. And I said, how can you impact? Who do you think you can impact more? If you made some money and can give more away or invest in more marketing so more people hear, or just if you give the book away, what do you think? And the answer is pretty clear. But again, it's changing that mindset, changing that perspective. And you said it well in that example. It's really, you know, it's like we're humble and proud of it.
Yeah, humble and proud of it. All the time. Humble and so proud of it. I love that. That's a great phrase. That's quotable. What I was thinking when you were talking there is that it's really not about, to me, it's not about whether you charge for your book or you don't charge for your book, you know, whether you do it like that. It's really about how you're valuing your story. Mm-hmm. Does it have value? And it does. I mean, just like you have value, your story has value. And now there are multiple ways that you could share that. You can share that free in front of an Awana group. You can share that. I mean, you can share it any which way. And the dollar value on the story is not the focus of why you're telling it, right? Absolutely. But it also shouldn't be, it also shouldn't be that you use it as a false humility saying, well, if I charged for it, then I wouldn't be a Christian or something like that. That's just not it's just not true. So I think you just have to go back to Jesus and say, you know, what do you want me to do with this story that you've put in me, that you've lived through me? And that's the most important thing, not whether you charge for your book or whatever. There are so many people that, you know, charge for their book and give all the money to missions. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this. You don't have to be worried about that. But the value of the story is where I think it's important for us to really embrace that and say, I believe that what God has given me is valuable. It's absolutely as valuable as a gift he's given somebody else, even though they're different.
I love your emphasis on that. And the thing is, if we don't value it, why should they?
Right.
I mean, they will tell. They can sense, they can hear if we value it.
Yeah.
But like I said, if we don't, why would they value it? Yes.
And then if we have something of value, of course we want to share it, right? I mean, that's what we want to do. When we have something of value, we just get excited about letting other people know about it and having access to it. So you actually have a framework for helping us tell a 2-minute story. I didn't warn you about this. Would you be able to tell us a 2-minute story first and then tell us the framework? Otherwise,
things are always good.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little story.
Okay. Sorry, I put you on the spot there.
That's okay. My husband and I were driving along the coast and we stopped at this little park. I opened up the door and I had no idea how windy it was. I mean, the wind just flung open the door. Mm-hmm. We walked to this little rail fence and my husband spotted the seagull. Mm-hmm. And we watched the seagull. And there it was sitting on this huge rock. And as soon as the big wave came, it just gently lifted itself up. And then when the wave withdrew, it landed on the rock. And we watched this for 15, 20 minutes, same pattern. And I thought, you know, is the seagull hurt? I mean, why isn't he flying away? And it just grabbed my curiosity. And it wasn't until I got my photos enlarged and looked at this, and I thought, he was just having fun. He was rising above those, that was his storm. He was rising above the storm and just having fun. And I thought, it was a picture of pure joy. And then I thought, you know, God took me deeper into that in my spirit and said, wow. How wonderful would that be if every emotional storm that comes my way, I could just gently rise above, knowing I'll have victory in him, and then settle down. Right. And God has taught me many of those tools, but it's, you know, it's just, it's a fun little story, but every great story has conflict. And so that's what we have to remember. For me, the conflict wasn't for the little bird. The conflict was for me wondering if he was hurt. You know, here was this fierce wind that we just had to hang on to this wooden rail fence. But God had given us through that this picture of joy. So conflict, as we know, we can't watch a movie without lots of conflict. Story, it's one of the biggest ingredients of story is conflict. And that's how we can know for sure that we have a story, because everybody has conflict. We don't have to look far for that. And behind every conflict is a resolution. And so, and there's a sense that behind every resolution is another conflict. I call that our story pathway. And then the biggest thing is that we want an introduction, and that introduction needs to be just a grabbing statement that pulls us right into, takes us right into that moment of, you know, of the story. Now, if you'd warned me, I could have taken
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't think of it in advance, but I thought now all of a sudden I was thinking of it. And it's interesting, like yesterday I did a webinar called Frazzle Free. And one of the things I did is I put some pictures on the screen of a mom holding a little baby tenderly, you know, and a mom laughing with one of her kids. And then the last one I put on was a mom nursing a baby. And then I put on the next screen, which was what happened exactly before the mom nursed the baby. The baby was screaming. Because that's how babies communicate, I need milk, right?
Yes.
And in what you just said is so true. Every story of joy, every story of closer tenderness, every story that has a happy ending had a time in the story that had conflict, that felt like somebody was screaming, that there was a need that had to be met. And what we want in life is we want it all to be perfect all the time, all cuddly, all happy, all fun and joy. But that's heaven. This is earth. And on earth, definitely. Some happy and some sad. Some taste of heaven and some taste of hell right here going on right now. And this is the choosing place. So we need to really recognize that when we're telling a story, if we don't include that conflict, it doesn't resonate with people as interesting, because our lives are full of conflict. Our lives are full of challenges.
Conflict, challenges, pain, problems. That's how we connect. I mean, we live in such a broken world today. That is how we connect. And if we just give them those cuddly, warm, happy moments, it's like, okay, that's great, you know? And I wish I had a baby to cuddle right now, but We don't connect with that. So that best thing is just, you know, sharing that conflict. And I can give you, you know, a basic guideline for story. A 2-minute story would be 25% introduction, 50% conflict, and 25% resolution. So it may look like, you know, five statements, introduction, conflict, because you build up the conflict and then you give your resolution. That's a basic guideline that would be ideal. And when you can do that within 2 minutes, in fact, many of my stories, I put it through that framework and I test it. Because otherwise it's so easy, I think particularly for us as women, to just rattle on and get off track and so forth, and we lose our audience, even if that audience is a one-on-one. We lose it.
Who was the person who said, I would have written you a shorter letter, except I didn't have time? Because it does take a little more effort to say it succinctly. But if you want to retain someone's attention, and truly it's worth the effort to do that. So you have actually three reasons why you say that we should learn how to tell our stories now.
Well, you know, there really are many more than three, but I was trying to narrow this down just like we try and narrow down our stories. And one is there's an urgency right now. People are hurting and they are wanting solutions for their conflict, their problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your story is the solution to someone's. It's whatever you have overcome. That's your story that you can share with someone else. It doesn't have to be your life story and so forth. A lot of times we think it does. No, it doesn't. It may be what happened today or what happened yesterday. That you learn something. It's not how big our story is. It's how big the lessons are that we learn through it. And so that's one thing, is that, you know, people are hurting. And so we need to bring them answers. We need to be able to come alongside them. And, you know, because they're hurting, hearts are more open today than ever. They really are. And sometimes they don't even know why. I had a lady just come to my story retreat and she said, Linda, ever since you told me that this summer you're having a story retreat, she says, I had no idea what that was about. I just knew I had to be here.
Yep.
And it was just so precious. As she sent me an email after, she says, that wasn't an aha moment. She says, I had a whole transformation.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And I had no idea. I had no idea. And, you know, thirdly, if we don't tell our story, who will?
Right.
And you think, okay, well, my story is about grieving or loss or something. And there's lots of stories about that. And you know what? You have a uniqueness in your story. I'll tell you very quickly, I was helping a lady with her TEDx talk a number of years ago, and her story was about grief. And she says, I got on those TEDx talks and there's tons of stories of grief. I don't know what to share. And I asked her very briefly to tell me her story. And immediately I was able to pick up that uniqueness. And even though it took her a few years, she just emailed me this week. She says, I want you to know I got on that stage, and in 9 months, she had over 53,000 views of her uniqueness. And it is there. Sometimes we have to look for it. It's gold. You know, it's not lying on the surface. We have to search for it and dig for it. But we need to be out there telling our stories. Yes.
Yeah, and believe it's valuable. I like to tell the story of several years ago when I was doing Bible Study Expo. One year we had two Bible study books for women that came out in the same year from different publishers with the exact same title. Exact. Now there's probably only, at the time, there was probably only 15 or 20 Bible study books that were coming out every year for women. So to have two books by the exact same title, but as we dug into them, I mean, I did the studies and then I interviewed the authors. I mean, they're very different books very different needs and different people. It doesn't matter if you have a story that you think, oh, everybody's heard about this. The fact is that we all deal with grief pretty regularly. you know, not necessarily the loss of a loved one to death, but I mean, we have small griefs that happen all the time that we have to process. And so telling a story about grief that can help us know how to process our grief better is so, so valuable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just love the thought of people telling their stories and not sitting on them. I think in the Bible, it talks a lot about being a testimony. And how in a testimony, you think about in a court of law, you get up on the stand, you say, I'm only going to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then you tell your story of what happened to you, what you saw, what you experienced, what did that person do then or whatever. And that's really our story. It's our story. And we have so many of them, but many of them are actual God sightings, interventions of God into our lives and into our days. And I really believe when you were talking about the need for our story right now, the need for people to recognize that God is present and available, that God is powerful, he's still working, that he loves you, that he cares about every detail of your life, even if the miracle was something little like finding something you had lost or whatever your story is. Just learn to tell it, even the tiniest one. So you actually take the tiny ones and you turn them into something that can really go out. And like your friend with the TEDx talk can really reach a lot of people. So what is the method that you use to take a smallish story and turn it into something that's really remarkable?
Well, you know, today we have so many opportunities with the internet and so forth. And so there's, of course, two big ways to communicate our story. One is through telling our story and one is through writing our story. And I actually help with both of those venues. So one is telling our story through a story retreat. I give them the foundation of story. And then if they want to go deeper, I show them how they can, you know, put their story together. It's got to be done in a quality way, put that story together, and then we can open that up through interviews, through podcasts, through webinars, through, you know, so many different ways. Even though speaking isn't, people are still speaking, but not as much today, live speaking, I believe that'll come back. But there are many ways to tell our story. Interviews is a great way. I actually have my own Roku show, a show on Roku, and I interview people as well. So that's telling your story. And then I'd written a couple of books and had been in the back of my mind for a few years now to interview other people's stories and start this collaborative series. And nice. You know how it is sometimes. I mean, there's no perfect time. I thought you just have to step out and do it. And so we just did. We just published this and last week. And it was so exciting to get the reviews. And what touched me the most is what people are sharing in the reviews. I mean, it's to me, it's heart-wrenching that these stories, and these are seven women who have shared from a very vulnerable heart where they were in pain and how they overcame that. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be a big life story. It may be something very simple, but so that's another way. And then I get on tons of podcasts, radio, television, and so forth, and promote the story and show them how they can promote it. And together we will reach millions. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So this book, Story Matters, it's already, I think it already became a bestseller, didn't it? The Amazon bestseller?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Just right out. Right out of the chute. Awesome. So fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So fun. Well, I know that you have a lot of other things that you provide over at your website, and you are a speaker at womenspeakers.com too. Love that. But also at your website, wealththroughstories.com. If people go over there, what are they going to find?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, hear a little bit more about my story. And then I do 5-day challenges that are so fun, a great way to connect with people, a 2-day story retreat. And that's live. That's very fun. We just finished one now in October, and we'll do another one in March. And also, if they want want to connect with me personally, they could sign up for a 20-minute story strategy session, mm-hmm. and I'll be happy to talk with them about their story. So there's just, plus there's some freebies and just lots of fun stuff.
That's just awesome. Well, I just love you so much. I know when God, in 2009, when God put in my heart that I would be a mentor to millions, I too just went, what? I don't even get numbers like that. That doesn't even, like, my brain goes, hundreds is good for me, you know?
Yeah. So,
right, exactly. So, you know, when God calls you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, Linda and I can really understand your reaction to that is, who, me? and a lot of people in the Bible said that same thing. Moses was like, what? Mary was like, what? A lot of people were, that can't be right. But God does tend to just put it on our heart when he's calling us to step out of a safe comfort place, and he's calling us to step out for him, for his glory and his honor, not so that we can look back and say, wow, look what I've done, but that instead, I love how Shannon Popkin, her book is Elevate, and she talks about speakers who, when you get up on a platform, you can either think, well, this is all about me being on a platform, or you can think that with Jesus in me, the higher that riser goes, the more people can see it from farther out and farther out and farther out and farther out. And so elevating a person in the world is how God spreads his story to more people. And it's not that it's a bigger deal than sharing one-on-one. I mean, sharing one-on-one with people is one of my very favorite things to do. And I don't think, I always say there's no difference in my eternal reward. I don't think there's any difference between my eternal reward of changing my baby's diaper, doing it for Jesus, or publishing a book that becomes a bestseller, or standing on a big platform. God just loves a cheerful giver. Whatever you give to him, he will love that you gave it. And if he's calling you to put your story out there, we just encourage you to be brave and to follow him and do it. Check out Linda's stuff, because she just has a lot of great content to help you get that out in a way that people can really find it and appreciate it and learn from it. So Linda, thank you so much for all that you do. Thanks for being here with us today. Just love you so much.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I love you so much too. And you know, it's always about working together. Together we will impact millions. Yes, we will.
That's right. The body life of Christ. Well, thanks you guys for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you.